Morty greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The Boston Marathon will be run for the 121st time on Monday. More than 30,000 runners are expected on the starting line for the world's oldest annual marathon, including the defending men's and women's champions from Ethiopia, Lemi Berhanu Haile and Etsede Baisa. 4 years ago, two bombs exploded 12 seconds apart near the finish line of the famous Boston race, killing three people and injuring more than 260 others. At least 14 people required amputations. The feature film, Patriots Day, offers a dramatized account of the Boston Marathon bombings, but John Dunham's new documentary, Boston, narrated by American movie star and Boston native Matt Damon, looks beyond the bombings. It weaves an uplifting history of the race from its beginning in 1897 to 2014, the year after the attacks. VOA's Penelope Pulu has more.
And they're off, some of the fastest men in the world.
The Boston Marathon is officially underway.
By the size of the race, the sheer enthusiasm of the 36,000 racers, and the community spirit during the 2014 Boston Marathon, no one would have guessed that the year before, the event, its participants, and the city itself had been devastated by a terrorist attack. The bombings weighed heavily on the heart of filmmaker John Dunham, a marathon runner himself who had planned years before the attacks to make a documentary about the history of the race.
There were a number of feelings. There was certainly a lot of grieving for what had happened. I walked up and down Boylston Street every day as soon as I arrived here in Boston in January of 2014, and just thought about it, you know, every day.
His documentary Boston does not focus on the pain and fear in 2013. Instead, it chronicles the Boston Marathon as an event that has fostered charity, unity, and strength since its inception.
A big field of international stars away in a mob scene in the Boston Marathon. 26 miles of tough going ahead of it.
Dunham's film follows the growth of the event through the decades. The race has become more selective, the runners faster. They come from all over the world to compete.
Who want to run like me?
One of them is Kenyan Wilson Chebet.
Long time ago, when I was a child, I used to run to school 3.7 kilometers. Lunchtime, you come back, you go to school after lunch, and then evening, you come to home. Yeah. 4 times in a day.
The documentary shows how the race has also grown into a major fundraising event. It started with Greek Olympic athlete Stylianos Kyriakidis, who won the Boston Marathon in 1946.
And used his notoriety as a Boston Marathon champion to raise funds and put together supplies that aided Greece after the war.
With just a few days before this year's race, Boston is getting ready. T.K. Skenderian, Director of Communications at the Boston Athletic Association, is in the middle of the preparations.
In the year that followed, and in the years that have followed, the sense of solidarity and community pride that has emerged from not just those injured, but people locally, people around the world, has been overwhelming. I mean, that sense of civic pride, city pride, pride in the sport of running, has been enormous. Yeah, we were knocked down, but we got back up in a big way.
2 days before the 121st running at the Boston Marathon, John Dunham's documentary is appropriately premiering in its namesake city.
There's so many things that we can't control in life, But getting out and running and setting a goal like running a marathon is something that can be done. And it really does change lives and something very, very positive.
Scripture tells us to run with endurance the race that is set before us.
Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Boston.
Thanks, Penelope. And this Sunny Side of Sports programming note, on Monday, April 17th, I'll have a special Boston Marathon show celebrating the 121st running of the big race. My Voice of America colleague, Andrew Palcheski, will be reporting near the finish line in downtown Boston. Joining us now from Abuja, Nigeria, with a package of African sports news, is reporter Samson Omale.
We begin with the appointment of Spanish tactician Lucas Alcaraz as the Algerian national football new coach, replacing former boss Georges Lenkins. The 50-year-old coach, who was sacked as Granada's coach on Monday, will be in charge of the Algerian national team against Togo on the 9th of June in the 2019 African Cup of Nations qualifiers. The Algerian Football Federation had fired Belgian coach Georges Lenkins after losing to Nigeria in the second round of the 2018 World Cup qualifiers and being eliminated from group stage of the 2017 African Cup of Nations. Former Chelsea striker Didier Drogba has agreed to join second-tier United States team the Phoenix Rising in an effort to help them join an expanded Major League Soccer competition before he takes an executive role with the team when he retires. The Arizona team also confirmed that the Ivorian will have a vested interest in the franchise. The Rising compete in the second-tier United Soccer League but have applied for an expansion berth in MLS, who are planning to add four new teams over the next few years, with two sides named later this year. And now to handball news. Al Ahly senior handball team coach Hassan Ahmed has praised the performance of his team's players after they beat Zamalek 29-23 in the African Handball Super Cup late Wednesday, winning the title for the first time in the tournament's history. Ahly defeated Cup Winners Zamalek in the Super Cup final in Morocco this week. Ahly took an early lead over Zamalek during the game, managing to finish the first half at 15-12 before ending the game with a 6-point lead over the arrivals. Staying with handball news, Tunisian side AS Hammamet lost by forfeiting their first game against FAP of Cameroon as part of day one of the Men's African Club Championship Winners' Cup in Agadir, Morocco, due to an administrative error by the Tunisian delegation. According to the Tunisian Football Federation information officer, AS Hammamet had not been authorized to play Cameroon's FAP for failing to provide the players' licenses forgotten in Tunisia by the delegation members. In volleyball news, CF Carthage has qualified for the Women's African Volleyball Championship semifinals after beating CS Sfaxien 3-1 at the third quarterfinal game played on Thursday. And finally, South Africa's Wade van Niekerk will have the chance to emulate Michael Johnson's feat of winning the 200 and 400 meters at the same World Championships following changes to the schedule for August edition in London, the first day of a two-day meeting of the Council of the International Association of Athletics Federation saw the global governing body announce that the opening round of the men's 200 meters has been moved from day 5 to day 4. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Hey, g'day mates, remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right, give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting spotty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It belongs.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
In pro boxing, I've been talking with Namdi Hollywood Moueta, our reigning prince of pugilistics, about the April 29th World Heavyweight title fight between Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko, the blockbuster bout at 90,000-seat Wembley Stadium in London is a sellout. I asked Namdi, how much would you have to pay a scalper for a ringside seat on the secondary market?
Well, we're talking about a secondary market. You know, if you're a high roller, you're a big boy, you just flew into London with your jet, you know, hanging in the nosebleed, you know. We're talking about ringside. Ringside is £35,000. And if it's in dollars, you're looking at close to $45,000. So if you're a big boy, you're a high roller, you want to impress your lady, that's where you have to be. Sonny Young, ringside, you have to drop $45,000.
What about the broadcast of the fight, Namdi? Has an agreement been reached between the two American cable networks, Showtime and HBO?
Sonny, don't forget in the past we said that these two fighters have exclusive contracts. HBO has Klitschko, Showtime with Anthony Joshua. Well, they've been negotiating and negotiating, but they finally agreed TV rights will be $3 million. That's on the table already. But now, who will air the fight live and who will air it tape delay? HBO wants to air it live in the afternoon. Showtime wants to air it live in the afternoon. But now they finally agreed. Showtime will air the fight live in the afternoon. HBO will rebroadcast it in the evening. But they're still trying to work out details, which is not good for the fight because this is when they have to start promoting the fight in the U.S. for the fight fans. Because outside the U.K., outside Europe, fight fans in America don't really care for Klitschko and Anthony Joshua.
Namdi, next month, another big fight, May 6th, an all-Mexican matchup between Saul Canelo Alvarez and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. How's this one shaping up?
Oh, Sonny, it's a big, big fight, a monster fight. May 6th, Cinco de Mayo week. T-Mobile Arena sold out 20,000 people already. They've just added closed-circuit venues, which means if you cannot make it into the 20,000 arena, you don't have the tickets, then you can go to any of the casinos in Las Vegas, your MGM, your Mirage, your Caesars Palace, and you have to pay $75 to go in and watch it on a big screen. Not only that, Golden Boy, Oscar De La Hoya, they've just made a deal whereby all over the U.S., you can go to a movie theater and see this fight on the screen. And if you cannot afford to be in Las Vegas or be in the arena, the best thing for you is to go to a movie theater and enjoy the fight.
Namdi, large Hispanic population in the Los Angeles area, as well as here in Washington and other areas of the United States.
Voice of America!
Texas has a large Hispanic population. Do you see the Mexicans and other Hispanics flocking to the theaters to watch this fight?
Oh, Sonny, the Mexican fans are the number one boxing fans, and they will come out. I mean, these two fighters are the best in Mexico, you know, not only in Mexico, but around the globe. They will stand and fight. They will go toe-to-toe. The Mexican fans, they love toe-to-toe. They love blood. They see the man on the floor with blood trying to get up and the referee counting him out. The Mexican fans love it. And they know that Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. will stand and fight. And Canelo, you know, Canelo will bring it on and pressure him. So we're looking at something that may end up becoming fight of the year, and the Mexican fans will put their hands in their pocket and pay the money to come out, and we're looking at huge numbers, Sonny.
Namdi, how do you rate the chances of Chavez Jr.?
Well, Sonny, it depends on what he's been doing, because in the past, he gets toned before fight, you know. He lacks discipline, and he comes in overweight, you know. This fight is contracted to 164 pounds, which means a little bit above the middleweight. But there's a clause in the contract that says if he's 1 pound over the weight, he will be billed $1 million. Which means if he comes in 3 pounds over the weight, he's going to have to pay $3 million from his purse. So if he's in shape and he really wants to fight and he wants to prove that he's the best from Mexico, he wants to fight and stand, he can win it. He's a live dog in this fight. But the fight fans look at him like a waste of talent who's been riding on his father's coattails for a long time, Julio Cesar Chavez, the man himself, that this kid here is nothing. It's a waste of time.
How about Canelo, Namdi? I know Triple G is out there. Will he fight Triple G this year should he get past Chavez Jr.?
Well, the fight with Chavez is for 164.5 pounds, which is above the middleweight class. Canelo said he will come down to 160 after this fight, which means he will be ready for Triple G come September. And that's what the fight fans want to see. Hopefully, there'll be no injuries. He will go in there and destroy Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. and that will be ready for Canelo and Triple G in September.
Namdi, you say fight fans want to see Canelo, Triple G, and yet it sounds like Triple G's latest pay-per-view numbers aren't all that exciting.
Well, when you're ready to break bread for a super fight, or when you're going to a dance, you must bring your right shoes, bring your numbers, you know. It comes down to negotiating, breaking bread. If your pay-per-view number from your last fight against Daniel Jacobs is 170,000, which is really nothing, and the fight before that was 150,000, you don't really have that leverage to tell Canelo that I need to get 50% of this fight. You don't have that leverage to say I need to get guarantee of $10 million. In the meantime, Oscar De La Hoya is saying, we can only guarantee you $15 million and you walk away and you get nothing on the backside. That's the way they're negotiating for this big fight.
I'm Manny Pacquiao, the fighter from the Philippines.
Filipino star Manny Pacquiao set to fight Australian Jeff Horn in Brisbane. Horn was originally scheduled to fight Pacquiao, then he kind of lined up this Amir Khan fight. That fell through. He's back to Jeff Horn. What's going on there, Namdi?
Well, the fight is set for July 2 in the afternoon, Saturday night here in America.
Voice of America!
Well, the big question is, Jeff who? Who is Jeff Horn? Who has he fought? Why is Manny Pacquiao really wasting his time to fight a nobody all the way in Australia? That's the big question. You know, I mean, this guy is a legend. Like fighting this Jeff Horn in his hometown in Brisbane, all the money coming from Australia. If you don't knock Jeff Horn away, your legacy is just down the toilet. So we don't get it.
Who would fight fans like to see the Pac-Man fight?
Oh, Captain Sonny, we have your Danny Garcia, Amir Khan, Keith Thurman, Terence Crawford. These are names that fight fans will break down the door to come out and see Manny Pacquiao fight any of these guys. But Sonny, he's at the end of his career right now. Some people believe he deserved this easy fight, or what we call a retirement tour or wheelchair tour, you know. But this is a man that made $100 million when he fought Floyd Mayweather. He should not be fighting this kind of fight in Australia for $5, $6, $7, $10 million, which to ordinary fight fan is still a big deal, but for a man that made $100 million for just one fight, plus the Bradley fights and all the other fights, a senator in the Philippines, he should not be lacking in dough. He should not be lacking in money. He has money. So why put your body and yourself through all this for a fight that you could end up losing in Brisbane? Mind you, Sonny, this is boxing. This is the sweet science. This is not wrestling. Muhammad Ali fought Leon Spinks. Did we ever believe Muhammad Ali would lose to Leon Spinks?
Mm-mm.
No. So what happens if Jeff Horn, who we're calling now Mr. Who Are You, goes to Brisbane and knock out Manny Pacquiao? That's possible, Sonny.
How about that big time difference between Australia and the United States, Namdi? Will it negatively affect the pay-per-view sales here in the States?
We are yet to know if they will make this fight a pay-per-view in America, which will be Saturday night. Will the fight fans really come out and pay $75 to see Manny Pacquiao fight some unknown guy in Australia? We don't think so. So regardless, unless you make it a free television fight, then the fight fans will really look at it. But right now, the fight fans don't really care about this fight. And it's summertime, a lot's happening. This fight may end up losing money at the end of the day.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. Joining us once again for a look at some of the latest sports social media trends is my VOA colleague, Doug Bernard. Happy Friday, Doug.
Great to be here, Sonny.
Welcome back. What's trending out there?
Well, you know, the number one trending item is about a person, a name that maybe a lot of people may not know, but he had really outsized impact in American sports. Dan Rooney, who was the owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers, died yesterday at the age of 84. He's now currently the number one trending topic in what I call kind of sports Twitter,
but okay.
Things that people are talking about. Now, you might think, well, you know, he's an owner. Why all the fuss over a rich guy? Well, the interesting thing is, first off, the Steelers have been in the Rooney family since the very beginning. His father was the first owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He took that position, and I think now there's a clear sense that they're wanting to hand this over to Art Rooney Jr., Dan Rooney's son. But a number of interesting things. So, for example, I'm looking at Twitter here. David Axelrod, who was the President Obama's, you know, one of his chief strategists, David Axelrod tweets out, "I feel fortunate to have met and worked with Dan Rooney." That's because, in addition to being a much beloved figure in Pittsburgh and in the NFL, Dan Rooney was also a ambassador to Ireland, to the Republic of Ireland. Most people don't know that. He was appointed by President Barack Obama. Here's Cyrus McQueen, RIP Dan Rooney. "You won't find many white men born in 1932 in the U.S. that dedicated themselves to combating racism. Truly one for the ages." And former NFL coach and former Pittsburgh Steeler Tony Dungy echoing that as well. Now, you may ask, why are they, you know, what exactly are they talking about? Well, Dan Rooney was always very concerned about making sure that minorities had a role, had a place, had a home in the NFL. And in fact, he was the prime proponent and author of something that's now called the Rooney Rule. Basically, this is an NFL policy. It applies to all teams. And that means that all the teams must interview minority candidates for sort of the senior level operating positions. These are the coaches, the assistant coaches, you know, the people who, you know, are really down there, you know, making these teams work. And a number of coaches and players, there still aren't that many African-American coaches. Curiously, you had remembered this, and it's true. The current Pittsburgh Steelers coach, Mike Tomlin, is himself African-American. There are not that many, but many people look at what Dan Rooney did throughout his life as really just expanding opportunities in the NFL. So a lot of people really sharing some just lovely stories. He apparently was well-loved. Look, he was a rich guy, and he could throw his weight around as well. But it seems it's pretty much good feelings for Dan Rooney here.
Some quick Mike Tomlin trivia for our Voice of America listeners. Doug, I'm checking out Wikipedia. Mike Tomlin, back in 2009, became the youngest head coach to lead his team to a Super Bowl championship.
Isn't that interesting?
I think he was, if I get my math right, 38 when he did that. 38 years old.
Wow, that's amazing. And, of course, the Steelers hold the record. They've won 6 Super Bowl titles. No one else and no other team has done that. Very quickly, another fun item going around. I'll make this very short. On Twitter, yesterday, the Washington Capitals faced off against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Maple Leafs coach Mike Babcock was asked about a number of players. One of them he was asked about is Tom Wilson. He said, we don't really consider Wilson to be much of a factor at all. Well, it turns out when the game that they played yesterday went to overtime, and Tom Wilson was the one who lasered that puck into the goal, defeating the Maple Leafs. I'm just looking at a lot of people having fun with this on social media. I'm just looking at this one that comes out from a Caps fan. Mike Babcock, : Tom Wilson is a concern. Tom Wilson, : hold my beer.
Thanks, Doug. VOA's Doug Bernard. And that wraps up the April 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
According to the Famine Early Warning Systems Network, or FEWSNET, in 2017, some 70 million people across 45 countries will need emergency food assistance. Severe drought and economic instability are part of the problem, but so is violent conflict. Indeed, it's important to stress that these crises are largely man-made with other compounding factors, said Matthew Nims, acting director of USAID's Office of Food for Peace. This is certainly true of South Sudan, Nigeria, and Yemen. Famine was declared in parts of South Sudan in late February, while Nigeria and Yemen are at high risk of famine. In South Sudan, the civil war that began in December 2013 as a consequence of the power struggle between President Salva Kiir and Vice President Riek Machar escalated into a civil war. An estimated 5.5 million people, nearly half of South Sudan's population, will face life-threatening hunger due to this man-made crisis. In Nigeria, an estimated 5.2 million people will face severe food insecurity by June, particularly those displaced in Borno State. There are signs that famine likely occurred in 2016 and may be ongoing in parts of the state that humanitarian actors are unable to reach, said Acting Director Nims. The United States, said Mr. Nims, has provided nearly $386 million since fiscal year 2016 for people affected by the ongoing crisis in the Lake Chad Basin region. In Yemen, over 17 million people are food insecure, 7 million of whom are in need of emergency food assistance. Starting in fiscal year 2016, the U.S. government has contributed nearly $432 million in humanitarian assistance to Yemen, said Mr. Nims. In South Sudan, the United States has not waited for a famine declaration to intervene and will continue to respond robustly to save as many lives as possible. The U.S. is the single largest provider of humanitarian assistance to South Sudan, having provided more than $2.1 billion since the start of the conflict in December 2013. We remain committed to providing humanitarian assistance around the world as both a moral imperative and as a direct benefit to the well-being of the United States.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
When news breaks, VOA News is there. VOA. Around the clock, listen to VOA newscasts on the top of each hour, along with our detailed news shows and analysis.
VOA News. We're online at voanews.com.
At voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.